The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sally Reese here from Natural Nourish. You're listening to Healthy Options here on Fresh FM. Today, I wanted to continue a little bit talking about fermentation, telling you about a class I've got coming up, and also I've recently gone dairy-free, and I thought you'd be interested to hear about that in case you're wondering about doing it yourself. First of all, about 5 weeks ago, I got a head cold, which was very surprising because it's been quite a while since I've had a cold. Anyway, I succumbed and wasn't very pleasant for a week. And then it kept going. And during this early time, I decided to give up dairy. I don't eat a lot. I don't eat much of the processed cheese that you get in supermarkets. I mostly eat feta, occasionally cottage cheese, probably quite a bit of butter, and a little bit of milk kefir that I make every day. Not a lot, just a little that I have. And sometimes I make yogurt cheese with the natural yogurt, and I'll have that as a spread or like a cheese board thing. So I'm not a huge consumer of dairy products, although I would like to be because I love cheese. So actually, I didn't find it really difficult to give it up, to be honest. Yeah, I haven't completely given it up. I've had a little bit of, what have I had? Oh, a little bit of feta, hardly any milk kefir. Although I'm wondering if the fermented milk would be different in my body. Not too sure about that. I haven't eaten a lot anyway, so once I've given it up completely, I'll maybe reintroduce a little bit and see how I feel. The main thing that I've noticed is that there's a lot of mucus leaving my body. With a cold, of course, you expect to lose a bit, but it's gone on and on and on. So mostly from my nose. And also I notice when I'm lying down in bed at night, or sometimes I don't have to lie down, I notice that the mucus rises up through my tubes and I have to swallow it. So hopefully that exits my body. So it's really good. Most people know that dairy products are mucus forming in the body, so there's proof of it. And I remember I had a colonic irrigation a while ago, and the person who did it noticed that there was a lot of mucus coming out as well. So it's really good to be getting rid of it, I have to say. And I'm sure my body will operate a lot better having got rid of it from my body. I'll keep you posted on how I feel, but I'm feeling pretty good at the moment. So long may it last. Yeah, I'm making nut cheeses at the moment as a substitute, and that's quite good. So I ferment cashew nuts mostly, soak them overnight first, and then drain them, and then I blend them up in my blender, add some things like a little bit of miso paste or some rejuvelac or something fermented that you've got, maybe some whey, something with culture in it that you can add to it to help it ferment, and also develops a nice tangy flavour. So it's quite nice. So it's kind of a soft paste when I first make it, and then I form it into a round shape, or you can make a log out of it, and then I wrap it up in baking paper. And the last lot, I pressed a whole lot of toasted sesame seeds onto it and keep it in the fridge. And over time, it will dry out and it will kind of harden. So you can slice it very easily. I haven't tried heating it yet. I don't really need to heat it. So it's a really nice, it's a change from the normal cheeses, and especially helpful if you're trying to give up the normal cheeses. You could also use almond meal. I've done that once or twice in the past. And also if you want a really luxurious one, try macadamia nuts. That'd be really nice because of the fat content. That would be exceptionally good. So that's my journey with dairy-free. So now I just wanted to tell you a bit more about the fermented foods. First of all, I've got a class coming up in Wakefield on the 17th of July, which is not far away. It will be the middle of next week. So it's 6 to 8 p.m. in the evening. Cost is $50 and it's Fermentation 101, covering sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha and milk kefir. Fermentation 102 has non-dairy products, so we do coconut yogurt, some drinks and some nut cheeses. So if you'd like to find out when the next Fermentation 102 class is on, do let me know and I'll schedule one. So I just borrowed a book from a friend. It's a thick volume. It's by one of the well-known authorities on fermentation called Sandor Katz. His nickname is Sandor Kraut Katz. And he's in the States and he goes all over the States and he's been to Australia to do workshops. Anyway, this book is called The Art of Fermentation. It's got over 400 pages and everything you ever want to know about fermentation is in this book. So it's practical information on fermenting vegetables, fruits, grains, milk, beans, meats and more. An in-depth exploration of essential concepts and processes from around the world. Fascinating. I haven't read a lot so far, but I guess you could get it online. Anyhow, it's amazing. So the reason, you might know that this processing of vegetables, in particular winter vegetables, is very old. And actually Confucius said way back in the 6th century BC, having yansai, which are salted vegetables, I can survive the winter, mainly because they contain vitamin C. And of course, we all know that Captain Cook, on his voyages, he kept his crew free of scurvy, which is a lack of vitamin C, by taking with him a large number of barrels of sauerkraut. So if it wasn't for that, they probably wouldn't have survived the long journeys on those boats. So fermentation doesn't actually add vitamin C to the vegetables, but it does preserve it, what's already there in the vegetables, and it slows down the loss over time. So the process, as with B vitamins, the process of fermentation does add additional B vitamins to the cabbage. So that's interesting to note. B vitamins are really good for you if you suffer from stress. You need extra B vitamins. So that's another good reason for eating fermented cabbage in particular. So as we know, over time, the process is the slower the better, really. The cabbage, the environment becomes more acidic. And towards the later stages of fermentation, we get a bacteria emerging called Lactobacillus plantarum, which I mention in my classes. So there's a variety of different bacteria that emerge at different stages of acidity in the process, and this is one of the last ones to emerge. So the lactic acid that the bacteria produce inhibits the growth of other bacteria, so like pathogens, so they can't survive in that highly acidic environment. So that's good to know. Very rarely will you get sick from eating fermented foods. And as we know, in this day and age, antibiotics are freely available whenever you want them. And they just don't kill the bad bacteria. They kill a whole lot of the bacteria. It is so essential to add good probiotics into your body as soon after you finish taking the antibiotics to replenish the lactic acid bacteria in our gut. So you can either have yogurt, like good yogurt, and there's only one good yogurt available in the supermarkets that I know about it. The brand is Naturely, and it comes in a white carton, 1 litre. Yeah, so that's the best one, or make your own is better. So how long to leave your ferments before they're ready to eat? Well, that's a personal preference, really. So waiting, of course, is the hardest part because it looks so yummy. So the thing is to taste it. So after 2 or 3 days in the beginning, the process starts and the vegetables start to transform themselves. But of course, they won't have reached their full potential and the flavour and the texture won't have reached the best quality either. So both the flavour develops over time, the acidity increases, and the textures change. So it's really advisable to taste them at regular intervals. So you can start off at 2 weeks. That's a good time. And then again, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and keep tasting until it's really nice, until your taste buds think, oh, yes, it's really good. I love that. They will tell you. Of course, if there's any left after 2 months, do taste it. So the best temperatures for fermenting are below 21 degrees, and ideally, best temperature is about 10 to 15 degrees Celsius. And the slower the process, the better the end product, of course. I think I mentioned that last time. And the salt is also a factor. So in the summer, make them saltier, add a little bit more salt, and that slows down the fermentation process. And in the winter, make them less salty, so that speeds it up a little bit, so we don't have to wait so long. I guess originally they were possibly buried in the earth or put into a cellar deep under the ground, somewhere as slow as possible for the best. So I mentioned Rejuvelac a bit earlier. So what is Rejuvelac? So this is a beverage made by fermenting sprouted grains. So you take some wheat. Wheat's a common one, and it was originally developed by a lady called Anne Wigmore, who was from Eastern Europe, and she went over to America. So you, first of all, you sprout your grains, so you soak the wheat overnight, and you might see some recipes referring to wheat berries. I think that's just the wheat grain. Soak them overnight, then drain them, just like you'd sprout any seeds, and sprout them for a couple of days until you see the tiny little sprout emerge at the end of the wheat grain. And then take a jar, like an AG preserving jar, and put your sprouted wheat in it, and then fill it up with good quality filtered water. And leave that for a day or two, 1 or 2 days. Then strain off the liquid, and that liquid is called Rejuvelac. You can keep it in the fridge and use it if you're making cultured foods. Like I mentioned, the cashew nut cheese, you can use a little bit to add to the nuts to start the fermentation process. You can add it to all sorts of things. You can use it, I guess you can use it on your porridge if you make porridge in the winter. You can use it in your smoothies. Yeah, so you can make a second ferment from the same wheat berries. So you strain off the liquid and then you just top up the jar with some fresh, good quality water and ferment that for another couple of days. So that's called Rejuvelac. And you can Google Anne Wigmore. She was quite a game changer, really, in the fermentation field. Back in the 1960s, yeah, she developed Rejuvelac. And, of course, you can add other things to it to add to the flavour and do whatever you like with it. It's up to your imagination. So, again, just a quick reminder, my class will be on 17th of July, Wednesday evening in Wakefield at the Wakefield School Hall. Contact me if you're interested to join us. We'll be covering sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha and milk kefir. So you've been listening to Sally Rees on Healthy Options here at freshfm.net in Nelson.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show. First broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.